Okay, this is the Father Heart TV webcast, Wednesday 27th of September 2017, and we're just continuing looking at the whole topic of we're all sons and heirs. And this is something I get very, very excited about, because for me this is the whole point of the gospel. And last week I did the first part, and I know one or two of you weren't with us last week, so I'll just do a recap of where we got to, and then we'll just carry on. Right in the middle of Galatians is a little verse, Galatians 3 verse 26, where Paul writes, "Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus we are all sons of God through faith." And to me, that is the central component, the central element of the gospel. Paul starts off Galatians by saying that, you know, he is astonished how quickly people have deserted the true gospel which Paul had given them, and how they've got hold of a different gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all. And, you know, he tells us they've turned back to living by the law, living according to the law, and they're trying to sort of win their favour and approval with God through their deeds and through the compliance with the law. And Paul says to them in Galatians, he says, you know, "Who has bewitched you? You know, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And it's like he's saying, you know, they've listened. You know, witchcraft is from the voice of Satan. And it's like, you know, Paul is really, really strong about this. And he said, you've deserted the true gospel and you've gone back to another gospel, which is no gospel at all. And so we looked last week at how what had happened and how the people and how we can easily fall back into following the law rather than living in this new revelation of sonship. And Paul says this was a direct revelation that he received from Jesus, that he, you know, that when he was born again, when he had that encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road, you know, Jesus said to him, "I will show you, I will reveal, you know, new things to you." And this is the central thing that Paul has received by revelation. And so we looked last week at how sonship is the thing that Paul had invested into this church, and how they turned away from it and following the law. And we looked at how the law always leads us into slavery rather than into the freedom, the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, we looked at how the law tries to stop us falling into sin and death, but it's always this battle between trying to do the right thing and the law of sin and death working in us. And it's a battle we can't win. You know, we looked at how the law was good, but it's not our saviour. And, you know, we spent some time looking at how we enter into this experience of sonship for ourselves. And if you didn't listen to last week's, then I encourage you to have a listen. It's on the website. The video's up on Barry's website and my website. And last week I ended up by saying a son looks at what he has, whereas an orphan looks at what he doesn't have. And without the spirit of sonship inside of us, we're always looking for something else. Whereas when we know that spirit of sonship is living in our hearts, we find that place of peace and contentment, because we know that our relationship with God is based on a relationship. It's not based on works. It's not based on trying to achieve something. It's not based on trying to keep a set of rules, which Paul says is impossible for us to do. And Peter, you know, when they had the council in Jerusalem, Peter says, we can't keep the law. You know, our forefathers couldn't keep it. We can't keep it. You know, what hope has anybody got? And so we looked at how that law has been swept away, and how we've been brought into a glorious relationship with the Father, which is our sonship with him. And last week I ended up just by saying that it's it's our redemption, or it's our redemption that gives us our sonship. You know, it's when we are born again, we are given the right to become children of God. That's what John says at the beginning of his gospel. He says, to all those who believe are given the right to be called children of God. And, you know, the moment we are born again, in God's eyes, we become sons and daughters. The problem is we are so ingrained in an orphan-hearted way of life, and we're so used to that orphan-heartedness within us. It's, you know, many of us never take hold of this gift of sonship. And although the Father has given it to us freely, it's something we struggle to enter into because of the brokenness and the woundedness of our hearts. And we don't fully enter into the free gift that's given to us. Now, where I want to start off this evening is a problem that has been caused partly through the translation of one particular word. And, you know, the translation of that word has actually given us a misleading understanding of who we are in relationship to the Father. And I'm really grateful to Trevor Galpin for explaining this to me and, you know, really helping me to sort of see how this fits together. Because there's one word that Paul uses five times. He doesn't actually use the word, but it's been translated, and it's the word adoption. And it's the word adoption is actually used five times in Paul's letters. It's used in Galatians, in Romans, and in Ephesians. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to give you a Greek lesson tonight and a Latin lesson tonight. But more than the Greek and the Latin, what I want you to do is to change your understanding in your thinking of this word adoption. And whenever you read it, instead of reading adoption, I want you to read the full rights of sons, because that's the literal meaning of the original Greek word, is the full rights of sons. See, adoption, in our Western culture, adoption is, we understand what adoption is in the context of a child who doesn't belong to a family, is kind of almost like very often rejected by their natural parents. And a third party comes along and says, I will adopt that child and bring them into the family. And very often the adoptive parents have the best will in the world, and they want to do the very, very best for this child. And they treat the adopted child as if they really, really belong. But the child very, very often struggles with a sense of a lack of self-worth, a lack of belonging, you know, kind of like, do I really fit into this family? And, you know, I think sometimes when we think of this word adoption, we bring that cultural mindset into our understanding. And it's like we think we didn't belong and something happened and now we do belong. Well, the reality is God has always been our Father. And, you know, he's always loved us and we've always belonged to him. And it's our redemption when we are born again that we appropriate that new life for ourselves. But as far as God is concerned, he's always been our Father. But we have this cultural mindset that tells us we didn't belong and something happened and we did belong. And then there's a pressure on us to perform in order to remain in that place of belongingness, if that's a word. Now, interestingly, the Scottish law is different to the English law. And I don't know what it's like for some of the other countries, but in Scotland, when the law about adoption, it clearly states that the adopted child has all of the rights as if they had been born naturally into that family. And the adoptive parents are to be treated as if they were the real parents. It's really, really clear in Scottish legislation. Slightly different in English, a bit more sort of watered down. But I like the Scottish interpretation. So this word adoption has given us some problems. It's created a hurdle, which I hope to be able to take us over this evening so that we can really have this sort of deeper revelation and knowledge, this experiential knowledge of our sonship. So let me just read the first seven verses of Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to substitute the word adoption with the words, the full rights of sons. And I really encourage you to do that. You know, wherever you see the word adoption in your Bible, cross it out and write the full rights of sons. Because in a minute, I'm going to explain what that really means. But Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. I mean, Paul says, that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, even though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, in order that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, let me just try and explain what's going on here, because Paul is using these words, the full rights of sons, deliberately. And the meaning of that has got lost over the centuries. But Paul is addressing a Roman culture. And when he says the full rights of sons, everybody would have understood exactly what he was talking about. Because in the Roman culture, they had a ceremony which was called huiothesia, which is a Greek word, and it simply means son placement. Now, that's a little bit cumbersome for our modern Bible translators, so they don't use the word son placement. We've ended up with this word adoption, which is not a good word. But what this Roman ceremony was the father, the Roman father, he would look at his children, and only the sons, unfortunately, in that culture, but this applies to all of us, sons and daughters, okay? But the Roman father would look at his sons, and he would pick the healthiest one. Not necessarily the oldest one, but he would pick the healthiest one. And he would take this healthy son, and he would take him before the elders of the city, and he would say this. Now, where have we heard these words before? He would say, this is my son. I have chosen him. I am proud of him. And I make him the heir to all of my estate. And the father, the Roman father, would then take a robe and put it around his son. Now, where have we heard that before? That's Luke 15. That's the story of the prodigal son having the robe put round him. It's the father from heaven saying, this is my son who I love. I am proud of him. And so the Roman father brings this son before the assembly, the elders of the community, and he recognizes him as his son and therefore the legal heir. He says, this is my son. And he gives him a ring to prove or to demonstrate his sonship. And that was the ceremony of huiothesia, which is the ceremony of son placement. And that's what Paul is describing. He's saying, you know, while we were children, we were treated like slaves, but there came a point in time when our father recognized us and gave us the full rights of sonship. And that point in time, that point of recognition, Paul says, is the moment in time that we were redeemed, that we were brought back into the family. And that is the moment in time that we become Christians, when we say, Father, I want to become one of your children. Jesus, will you take my sin away? Will you forgive me? You know, and we receive Jesus's forgiveness and we step into this new relationship. We, at that point in time, we are placed as sons and daughters. Now, the sad thing is, many of us don't realise that's actually what happened. But Paul is very, very clear. He said that we were redeemed from under the law and we were placed as sons. And, you know, this is not a separate thing that happens. This is what the Father sees happening the moment we are born again, and that we are recognized as sons and daughters. We have the robe put on us. We have a ring put on our finger. And our Father says over us, this is my son. This is my daughter. I am proud of him. I am proud of her. This is the one who will receive my inheritance. And that's what the Father says to us. He says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I make you my heir. I give you a good inheritance. That's the ceremony of huiothesia. Now, this is where it gets a bit crazy, okay? But if the father didn't have a healthy son, or if he only had girls or whatever, he would go to a friend of his who had several healthy sons. And he would have a chat with his friend and he would buy one of the other guy's sons. And then, having bought this son, he would bring him before the elders and he would say, this is my son. Now, you see, that's where we get this Western idea of adoption from, in part, because, you know, that guy, that child didn't belong to the family. The father's paid for him. And then he says, this is my son. He goes through exactly the same ceremony and says, this is my son, puts his robe on him, puts his ring on him, and says, this guy is going to receive my inheritance, even although he's not a natural son of the father. But they would go through exactly the same ceremony, and the bought son and the real son would have been recognized with equal merit, and both of them would have been given the full rights of sons, the full rights of sonship. So you can see how Paul is describing something that would have been totally, totally understood by his listeners. He's describing something that was an everyday occurrence in the marketplace. When people go into the centre of the town, they would see this ceremony happening. And so they would, when Paul says, we have been given the full rights of sons, they would know exactly what Paul was talking about. They would know the Father is affirming them. They would know that the Father is saying, I love you, I'm proud of you. They would know that there's a robe and a ring involved. They would know there's an inheritance. And so they would have, you know, they would have had no problem with what Paul was saying. But somewhere along the line, our understanding of this has become a little bit confused. And it partly arose in the 4th century when the Bible was translated into Latin. Now, we've had our Greek lesson, huiothesia, and now we're going to have our Latin lesson. When Jerome translated the Bible into Latin in the 4th century, they didn't have a word for this son placement thing that I've just described. They didn't have a Latin word to describe this Roman ceremony. And also, you know, the Roman culture was a bit more historical. It was not quite such a common thing by the time the 4th century came along. And so Jerome used the best Latin word that he could, and that was adoptio filio. And you can see where we've got the word adoption from. Now, here we are now, 21st century, 2,000 years later. The whole concept of sun placing has gone. You know, that's no longer a cultural thing. We're not familiar with that. And what we've been left with is the word adoption. And I would really, really, really encourage you that whenever you see that word adoption, you cross it out and you replace it with the words the full rights of sons. Because that's what John says in his gospel we've been given. John chapter 1 verse 12, to all those who believe have been given the right to become children of God. That's what Paul describes for us in Romans, in Galatians, in Ephesians, that you and I have received the full rights of sons. We've been affirmed by our Father. Our Father speaks over us. He says, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. I give you an inheritance. Now, this is just another sort of aside here. Some of you guys are from Holland. Some of you guys are from Sweden, Norway. Now, your Bibles don't use the word adoption. The Lutheran translations of the Bible have stuck with the words the full rights of sons. So this problem has really crept into the English speaking word through a bad translation of one word, and we've lost the sense, or we've lost the understanding, that we've received the full rights of sons. And I just want to pause here before we go on through this whole topic, because, you know, whatever our translation of the Bible is, in one sense, it's kind of interesting and it's kind of, you know, a good bit of history. But in another sense, it's almost irrelevant, because we live in an orphan-hearted world, and we live in an orphan-hearted education system, political system, financial system, church system. And that orphan-hearted system, if you like, has kept us in prison and prevented us from receiving and living in the full rights of sons. So, you know, in one respect, whatever our Bible says is irrelevant, because what is going on in our hearts is probably universal. And what is going on in our hearts is that many, many, many of us have struggled to really believe that the Father speaks those words of affirmation over us. And I want to say to you tonight that the Father speaks those words into your heart every day. And you can be having a bad day, you can be having a bad week, you can be having a bad month, but the Father's love for you does not change. And the Father's love for you is constant and unchanging. And he always, always speaks those affirming words into your heart. And I would encourage you, when you feel discouraged or when you're feeling low, is to say, Father, will you speak those words into my heart again? Because we all need to hear him say those words to us regularly. We all need to hear him say, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And so, you know, in a sense, what our Bible says is irrelevant, because it's what's going on in our hearts that's important. And, you know, what I want us to catch hold of through this is that Paul is saying to the Galatians, and he's saying to you and I, that we have received the full rights of sons. We have received the Father's affirmation saying, I am proud of you. I love you. And that's the revelation, that's the central revelation where Paul says that we are all sons of God through faith. You see, all of us, when we are, the moment we are born again, we step into the full rights of sonship. And this is the central revelation of the gospel that Paul is bringing to us. And he wants us not only to hear it with our ears, but he wants it to hear it with the ears of our heart, so that we know that we know that we know that we're no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters, and that each one of us has received the full rights of sonship. And there's, you know, this leads us on to the second part of this topic. We are all sons and heirs. And I just want to read to you Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, because this gets me excited. Galatians 3, 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You see, if we are sons, if we are sons and daughters, we are also heirs. You know, that whole son placement ceremony was the father recognizing his legal heir. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, you are, if you are a son, if you are a daughter, you are also an heir according to the promises given to Abraham. Sons and daughters receive an inheritance. A father gives his inheritance to the sons and daughters. A master doesn't give the inheritance to the servants or the slaves. He gives his inheritance to his sons and daughters. And we have this promise that Paul brings to us in this amazing letter. We have this promise that we are heirs according to the promises given to Abraham. Now, this is where it gets really, really exciting. What was the promise that was given to Abraham? The promise that was given to Abraham was, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's the promise that we receive as sons and daughters. The Father says to us that I am giving you the inheritance that I gave to my servant Abraham, that through you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's got to be a big wow moment, that we step into the promises given to Abraham. See, and then to me, Romans chapter 8 begins to make sense, because Romans chapter 8 is talking about creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. It talks about the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And, you know, that's those of us who have been on A schools, that's a passage we know very well, because we look at that towards the end of the school. But, you know, when we know that as sons and heirs, we inherit the promise given to Abraham that through us, all nations of the earth will be blessed. It's like makes sense of everything that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8. You know, we've been released from the bondage of the law into our inheritance and into our freedom. And, you know, we've been given something that we could never achieve through the law. We've been given a glorious inheritance that through us, the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that is nothing to do with what we do or try and achieve. It's simply a gift of faith. And this whole, you know, when we talk about being given the full rights of sons, we've basically been put back into our original relationship with the Father. You know, the way God intended it to be before the fall in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 4 and in Romans chapter 8, we read about, you know, we have the Spirit of his Son in our hearts that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. And that is an incredible, amazing, wonderful thing. Now, I just want to talk about this inheritance and being a blessing to the nations for a moment. And I want to leave Galatians for a few minutes and go into Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 is the story of the river. And Ezekiel is led by the messenger or by an angel into the river. And we all know the story. He goes in ankle deep, and then he goes in knee deep, and then he goes in waist deep, and then he goes in too deep, and he has to swim. And I don't know about you, but in 1994, when there was the outbreak of the Holy Spirit in Toronto, everybody started preaching on Ezekiel 47 and about getting into the river and getting deeper and deeper into the river. And we were all encouraged to knee deep and waist deep and swim, and it was all about going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I heard so many talks on Ezekiel 47. I thought, I don't want to look at Ezekiel 47 again. But I read it again a few months ago. And do you know what happens in Ezekiel 47? This man goes into the river. He goes ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then he starts swimming. And then do you know what happens? The angel says, "Have you seen what's going on?" And the angel takes him out of the river, which is interesting, and he takes him back through the city into the temple. And the last words of Ezekiel are when Ezekiel is standing in the temple, and he says, "The Lord is here." And I think the river's great, and I love being in the river, and I love having a lot of fun. But I want to be in the temple. I want to be in his presence. I want to know that the Lord is there. And the story in Ezekiel is quite amazing, because not only is this river that we can go in and out of, not only is this temple, but on the side of the river, there's trees. And along either bank of the river, there's trees. And Ezekiel writes that the fruit of those trees is food for the nations. He writes that the leaves of those trees will bring healing to the nations. And I've thought about that over the last few weeks, and I've thought about the tree of life in Genesis in the garden. We were given permission to eat from the tree of life. Now, Adam and his wife never did. They chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know all the tension and all the problems that's caused trying to do the right thing, trying not to do the wrong thing, trying to climb up the wrong tree in order to win God's favor. And God says, "No, no, no, that's the wrong tree. I want you to live from the right tree. I want you to live from the tree of life." And the tree of life is the life of heaven coming down into our hearts. It's the source of life becoming our life. And we read a lot about the tree of life. We read about it in Revelation. And Jesus is described as a tree of life. And in John chapter 15, John writes about us abiding in the vine. It's like we are the branches and we are connected to the trunk, the source of life. And I've just been meditating on John 15 and Ezekiel 47 and this picture of the river with the trees either side. And then I connect that with John chapter 15, that we are in the tree of life. John writes that we are grafted into the tree of life, that the life that comes into that tree comes into us. And I just look at these two passages and I think that as we are grafted into the tree of life, as his life becomes our life, as we drink of his presence, I wonder if that's part of us being a blessing to the nations. Because Ezekiel, the tree, provides fruit and food for the nations. The leaves are the healing for the nations. And our inheritance as sons and daughters is to receive and live in the promises given to Abraham, that through us all nations of the earth will be blessed. And I just wonder if we are part of those trees along the side, the river of life. Because the river of life changed, the river of life comes from the temple. It's a source of life flowing from God himself, and it changes everything it touches. And you know, alongside this river are many, many trees, and those trees are bringing life to the nations. And I just wonder, putting all these things together, if this is speaking about our inheritance as sons and daughters, that we will bring healing to the nations, that we will be able to bring food to the nations, you know, a spiritual food that makes people's hearts whole. You know, I think this is us beginning to live in the promises that were given to Abraham, that through us all nations of the earth will be blessed. See, this is the true gospel. You know, Paul, I said last week that Galatians was written on a scroll, and if you unroll the scroll, in the middle is this amazing revelation that through faith we are all sons of God. See, that's the true gospel. The law will always fail us because it's all about our own effort. It's all about what I must do. But when we live in faith, we have an open heart that enables us to receive everything that has already been done for us. See, Paul says at the beginning of Galatians, you know, I am astonished that you have so quickly deserted the true gospel and you've fallen back into another gospel, which in reality is no gospel at all. You see, they'd fallen back into the gospel of the law. And, you know, I think it's easy for us to do that. You know, it's easy for us to fall back into the gospel of the law because, partly because it's familiar to us, we've lived most of our lives under it, but also the gospel of the law it's a two-way transaction. And it's a two-way transaction that starts with us. What must I do in order that God will do something for me in return? That's the gospel of the law. And it starts with us. What do I do to make God do something for me in return? But the true gospel, the gospel of sonship, is a one-way transaction that doesn't start with us. The true gospel is a one-way transaction that starts with our Father, where he pours his life, he pours his love into our hearts. It's a one-way transaction of the flow of life from heaven into our hearts. That means it's faith, because we have to receive and believe in what we cannot see. And this is our inheritance. Our inheritance is to receive the downward flow of life from heaven and to allow that to permeate through us, and then it will change the nations of the world around us. See, that we've lived for so long under the gospel of the law, and we've become so used to doing something in order to try and get something back. And Paul says that is no gospel. That is no gospel. The true gospel is this central revelation of sonship, which is to bring us out of the ways of the world into the joy of being fathered. Let me just end with 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. You know, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." You know, sonship brings us out of the ways of the world, and it brings us to a place where we can be fathered. And as sons and daughters, we receive an inheritance. It's the best inheritance of any nation. And that inheritance is for us to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Let's just pray, and then Barry can come back. But I find this exciting. This is really, really exciting, because this is the gospel. This is good news. And so, Father, I thank you that we live in a day of good news. And I thank you that we are all sons through faith in Christ Jesus. And that we receive this gift of sonship because it's a free gift to us. That, Father, each one of us have received the full rights of sons. We've had our Father speak those words of affirmation to us. You are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, I'm proud of you. We've had our Father say, I give you my inheritance, I give you my robe, I give you a ring, I make you my legal heir. And Father, thank you that we inherit the blessing of Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. So, Father, thank you that we are planted in the tree of life, and the life from heaven flows down into our hearts. And Father, that life comes through us and it gives us life. It is the source of life itself. And Father, we just want to live in that place where we receive the downward flow of life from heaven. And Father, will you just surprise us? Father, as we live in our inheritance as sons and daughters, will you surprise us how we become a blessing to all the nations of the world? And maybe that's just in a small way, like taking a cake over to a neighbour or having a kind word with someone. Maybe it's about going to the nations. Maybe it's about going to our own nation. But Father, whatever it is that you call us to do, may we see that we are being a blessing to the nations simply because we're living as your sons and daughters. So Father, we want to receive this gift tonight, this gift of sonship, the full rights of sons, that we can know that we're being fathered by you. And I just ask, Father, that you will open a door in front of us and excite us with the journey that you want to take us on. Amen. Thank you, Father.